Hey guys, welcome to Sunset Church Podcast. We're a brand new church in Silicon Valley. My name is Yasmin and I'm one of the lead pastors here. Hey, if you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe and text 77977 and download our app.
Woo! Only at Sunset do we use Drake to make you love Jesus. I'm going to preach on this thought today called Don't Take the Bait. I want you to repeat after me. Don't take, the bait. Say it a little louder this time. Come on. Don't take. The bait. Who's excited to be in church today? One more time. Don't take the bait. About 2 years ago, my wife and I, we sold our home because we had a God dream that we wanted to start a church to reach unchurched people here near Santana Row. And by a miracle of God, God provided a home for us when we couldn't even afford this house. We had other people who had outbid us. Let me encourage some of you that are trying to buy a house with man, some things are not possible. With God, all things are possible. And we thought we had purchased, listen, our dream house until we finally moved in and found some surprises. We didn't just have like a few surprises. We had three of them to be exact. We had rats in our house. Yeah, disgusting, right? I wanted to keep them because they cleaned up the crumbs and Yasmin wasn't down. She wanted to buy one of those little vacuums that move around. I said, this is free service, babe. Come on. So I called the exterminator, and he comes over, and he starts placing peanut butter all around the house. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? This is going to, like, bring more of them to our house. Like, he's like, I'm training them. See, it's easy to kill a rat, Allie. All you got to do is appeal to its appetite. And then he brings this thing called decon. How many of you guys know what decon is? Yeah, I didn't even know either. It's these little tiny pebbles, almost like pellets. I'm like, bro, have you seen these rats? This is like Splinter from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is like the rats from Nutcracker. Like, that's a ballet joke for some of you that aren't cultured. I'm trying to help you this morning. And he's like, don't even worry. This thing is little, but can kill the biggest rat. See, it's 99% food, 1% poison. If I can tell you this morning that there are many people in this room that you have a God dream. God has placed a vision and a purpose over your life, but you're feeding your flesh to your fatality. You are eating your way to your demise. There is a proverb that says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. A little bit of sin can corrupt the whole batch. And this idea that I want to preach on this morning is, don't take the bait. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't take the bait. Now say to the other neighbor that you ignored the first time, they need some love this morning. We are in week two of our sermon series called God's Plan, and we've been following this guy named Joseph. He's a 17-year-old punk who's loved more than any of his brothers by his dad, Jacob. Our church even has his own Jacob and Rachel this week. I was looking for them last week, but they're here this morning. But Joseph, he's a 17-year-old punk, and God comes to him in his immaturity, when he doesn't deserve it, when he's not even qualified for it, and says, I have a dream for your life, Joseph. And Joseph, being a little bit obnoxious, goes to his brothers and goes, guys, I had the greatest dream last night. If you guys didn't hate me enough, listen, all of you guys were bowing down to me in this dream. Can we throw a party? Like, this is amazing news. His brothers, maybe some of you in 4 days, you're about to celebrate Thanksgiving with your crazy family. Listen, if you think your family's dysfunctional, Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him. And then his brother Reuben's like, guys, let's do the godly thing. Let's not kill him. Let's sell him and throw him in a pit. Right? It gets crazier, gets even more crazy. And then Joseph is in this pit. And this caravan of Ishmaelites come by and they sell him for a bag of peanuts to this caravan. And this caravan ends up going to Egypt. And in Egypt, Joseph is again sold to slavery. And that's where our story picks up in Genesis chapter 39. Let's read verse 2 with me, or verse 1, I'm sorry. Now Joseph, say Joseph. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. How do you prosper as a slave? Like, that's an oxymoron, right? Like, I'm a prosperous slave, but with God, no matter where you are, how many of you are grateful that no matter where you go, God is there with you? Come on. And the story continues. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to him to his care everything that he owned. From the time that he put him in charge of the household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had to Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. See, I find this story interesting because Joseph is a 17-year-old punk and he gets a God dream. And it seems like his dream is completely derailed when he's placed as a slave in Egypt. And what's so interesting is that he's now under the care of a man named Potiphar. Potiphar doesn't believe in the God of the Bible. Potiphar doesn't even believe in the God dream. But because he's associated with Joseph, the blessing's on him. And I'm here to tell some of you this morning that the dream that God has for you is not just a just enough dream. Listen, it's an overflowing dream. And that those around you, those that don't even believe in your life, your family, friends, your coworkers, your relatives, they don't even believe in God. Listen, their life is going to be different because they're around you. The thing I want to tell you this morning to encourage you is that what's in you, listen, is greater than what's around you. This has been our dream from the moment we started this church, that when you come into this room discouraged, beat down from the week, maybe you have a cray-cray boss, right? Maybe you have a coworkers that are lying and stealing to get ahead of you. Listen, that you would come into this room encouraged and inspired, that you have a touch of God in this room, that we don't just come to study God, listen, we come to experience him. And that you could handle your week. Why? Because what's in you is greater than what's around you. So many Christians are so focused on what's around them. They look at their boss, they look at their job, they look at their finances, and they freak out. I don't like what I'm seeing. Sometimes you got to realize you can't walk by sight. You got to learn to walk by faith. And Joseph, he has a God dream. And now he's a slave. You think the dream is over, but the dream is just beginning. Because they can take your position, but they can't take your purpose. And you need to realize that there's something greater in you that is in the world. And Joseph, he's making waves no matter where he is. See, I want to implore some of you this morning, no matter who you are, no matter where you work, no matter who your family, you're called to make waves. A couple years ago, we went to Bass Lake for a vacation. I went with my cousins and a few friends. You ever been to Bass Lake? It's Hoodville. I would never go. Recommend it. It's like near Modesto, and that place is even more hood. So we're at this Bass Lake, and we rented a boat, and they have all these signs on the pier that says, no wake zone. That's language for Hicks that says you can't drive fast in the water around here. Or the water police are going to pull you over. See, the boats along the dock, some people lived in them. Some people had their house along these boats, and they didn't want their stuff being messed up. It was a no wake zone. I think too many Christians in 2018 lived their life as if it's a no wake zone. You don't want to share your faith with your coworkers. You don't want to share your faith with your family because you think it's a no-wake zone. Can I implore you this morning that what is in you is greater than what's going on around you, and God wants to do something miraculous in you. And so that those who don't even believe in the God that you believe, they don't even know in the dream that God has for you, because they're associated with you, there's a blessing on them. And I want to tell you this morning that what is in you is greater than what's around you. And Joseph has this God dream, and God begins to bless him even in slavery. But that's when the tests begin. Read this verse with me. Now Joseph was well built. Thank you, praise God. And he was handsome. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Last week in our very first installment of our sermon series called God's Plan, I told you that when God gives you a dream, there's going to be tests. And the first test is the test of rejection. And I told you last week that there's more to know. That when you hear the word no, God's going to do something greater in the no than he could with the yes. If you haven't listened to iTunes, go to bomb.com. But the second installment of the sermon series is today's sermon, Don't Take the Bait. It's the test of temptation. That if you're going to fulfill your God dream, you got to get ready because the enemy's going to test you. See, whether you're a Christian for 5 minutes or 5 years, all of us, almost every person in this room can name a pastor who had moral failure. Do you know why? Because he didn't learn to pass the temptation test. God gave him a voice. God gave him a gift. God gave him prominence and influence. And as soon as he rose to the top, he fell because he never learned to pass the test. See, what you need to realize is don't let the dream take you to a place that your character can't sustain you. See, your character, listen, is more important than your skill. It's on the screen. Don't let your dream take you to a place where your character can't keep you. See, Joseph has a God dream. And yet at the same time, he thinks it's derailed, but then he sees the favor of God, even as he's a slave. And now he has the favor of Potiphar. Now he has the favor of Mrs. Potiphar too, right? She's like, dang. She rolls up in her Fashion Nova outfit like, hey, Joe. What's up, Joe? And she's got no game. She doesn't flirt. She doesn't follow him on Instagram and like 20 of his pictures and then slide into his DM. Some of you are getting uncomfortable. We know your game. Come on now. She goes straight to sleep with me. But Joseph has a dream. And he knows that he can't derail this dream because character is more important than skill. And here's the deception behind the temptation test. It's the test you take in the dark. It's the test that no one else sees. See, there are men that can pretend that they passed this test and they can still rise to the top. See, Joseph knows if I fail this test now, even though I'm not where I want to be, if I take the bait, I'm not going to go. Don't take the bait. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't take the bait. And the verse continues, but he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except for you, and you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And she thought, and she spoke, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day, this girl is persistent. He refused to go to bed with her and go to bed with her or even to be with her. Man, this guy is a man above reproach. Like she tries to come up and like squeeze hug him, and he is like, no side hug, girl. Like he runs. He's like, no. Tell the devil no, not today, right? If you're not gonna take the bait, listen, if you want to pass the test of temptation, you gotta write this down. The first thing you gotta do, you gotta count the cost. You gotta realize the cost. See, Joseph knows he's not where he should be, but God's not done with him. See, he's put into slavery. The dream seems like it's over, but God begins to bless him. God begins to use him. And even though he's not to where he wants to be, he's headed in the right direction. See, too many Christians, they focus on speed versus direction. Speed, some people want to get there tomorrow. I want to be in my calling today. You're not ready to handle your calling today. See, it doesn't matter if you're going 5 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour. Direction is more important than speed. And Joseph looks at this Mrs. Potiphar, she doesn't even have a name. She's like, why would I fulfill myself on you? You're going to leave me hungrier than before. Like, girl, I'm thirsty, but I'm not going to drink from you. And what I find so interesting about Joseph is that we're in church today. Come on, guys. He's thirsty. He's 18 years old. Hormones are raging, right? This man says no to this woman 400 years before Moses gave the law. Let me tell you why that's important. Moses was a prophet who went up the Mount Sinai and came down with what? The Ten Commandments. That's right. The Ten Commandments say, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery. So Moses gave the law 400 years after. Why is Joseph obeying? He has no written rule. See, this is what happens when you have a God dream. Even when you don't have rules, you have a purpose greater than what's going on around you. He has a conviction. I'm going to be a man of God regardless of what you're going to do. Do you know how you ruin your God dream? One compromise at a time. It's 99% good, 1% poison. See, some of you want a God dream, and the quickest way to ruin it is one compromise at a time. No one gets married and says, I'm going to get divorced, right? See, Jesus says, I come to give them life and life abundantly. And if you don't spend time with Jesus, listen, the devil's going to spend time with you. And he has a plan for your life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that Jesus wants to give you life, but the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let me give you a very graphic description of what the enemy wants to do to you. Imagine you're walking down a dark alley, and someone comes to you with a mask on and says, give me your wallet. That's the first thing the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal from you. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your God dream. Most thieves at that point would leave you alone, but the enemy wants to do more. After he steals from you, he's going to knife you. And you think as you're dying, bleeding out to death, like, that's enough. You stole from me. You killed me. The enemy wants more. Now he's going to pour kerosene on you and set you on fire. Because he doesn't want to just steal from you. He doesn't want to just kill you. He wants to destroy you. And he has a plan for your life. Listen, and the thing about Silicon Valley, there's not just like one type of bait. It's like, bait. Right? Like, we shouldn't call this Silicon Valley. We should call this the Valley of Bait. Like, if I'm being serious, this is what it feels like following Jesus in this valley. Like, it's like, I'm just trying to follow Jesus, but it's like, bait after bait is up in my face. Like, can someone pray for me? I'm trying to follow Jesus up in this house. And reading this story, listen, reading this story, it's hilarious, by the way, right? Reading this story, verses that now become alive to me that I never made sense before. It says, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. There's this attractive woman that wants to sleep with Joseph. This is why in the kingdom of God, hearing is more important than seeing. Hearing is more important than seeing. Do you know why? Because hearing, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's why I'm so pumped that some of you are in church today. Because I'm going to preach the word of God like I am, have been doing. And some amount of faith is going to be unlocked in you this morning. Some of you need to close your eyes and open up your ears and walk in faith. Because you can't take the bait. You got to realize the cost, that there's a God dream on your life. There's a purpose on your life. And even if they throw you in a pit, even if they sell you in slavery, they can't take your purpose. Because what's in you is greater than what's around you. And the enemy's going to come. Listen, if you don't spend time with God, the enemy's going to spend time with you. And Joseph counted the cost. He realized the cost. And then check out what happens to him. The verse continues. One day he went to the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak. Like, she put hands on him. Like, this is assault, woman. What are you doing? Come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out the house. Like, a man's got to do sometimes what a man's got to do. Like, this man runs a 40-yard dash. The Apostle Paul says, flee youthful desires. Like, some people take that figuratively. Joseph took it literally. If you're not going to take the bait, if you're going to pass the test of temptation, the first thing you got to do is realize the cost. The second thing you got to do is resist the urge. You might want to write that down, resist the urge. Because the urge is going to come on you. Like, there are nights where the urge for Taco Bay comes upon me. I'm like, I know we have leftovers, Bay. I need me a Mexican pizza in Jesus' name. The urge is strong. And listen, here's the thing. If you decide your standards when you're in the temptation, it's too late. You know why the Lakers are terrible and they let 130 points a game? Because they decide their defense in the middle of the game. It's a terrible idea. Terrible idea. If you decide what you're going to do after the temptation comes, you're already done. The enemy has a plan for you. He wants to take you down. And here's the thing. We're never going to be that church that preaches against sin for like 7 weeks. That's not the gospel. We're talking about Jesus, and when you see him for who he really is, he's irresistible, and you'll naturally let go of those things because you want him. Jesus is the solution. Yeah. We're never going to sit and talk about sin, but listen, there are things that the enemy takes that are good, like sex, like food, like pleasure, and the enemy twists them, and he perverts them, and he wants to give you 99% good and 1% poison. Yeah. Can we be practical this morning? If you're a struggling alcoholic, you have no business resisting alcohol in a bar. I'm just like resisting, Pastor Ali. No, you're about to go down, bro. Because here's the reason. Sin always happens at the intersection of desire and opportunity. Yeah. You got to remove the opportunity. You got to resist the sin. You got to fight back. If you don't remove the opportunity, you're done. Some of you found Christ in this church in the last year. 60 of you have raised your hand to receive Christ in this last year in this church. Amazing. Some of you are walking in freedom. Some of you, you're done with porn. You don't want it anymore. You don't want that thing perverting your mind. You don't want to find pleasure in people that you don't even know. You don't want your biblical view of marriage warped by some perverted porn, because it's not like that. But can I be honest with you this morning? You have no filters on your web browser. You still have access on your phone. Why would you place the enemy next to you when you go to bed every night? See, if you don't have a plan to set your standards before the temptation comes, you're done. Yeah. And see, what's so interesting is the enemy, he's wise. He's like Bill Belichick. He's evil. He cheats. He'll film you when you're not looking. He'll win championships, but he's always going to be a cheater. Just being real. And what he's going to do, he's going to hit you in the area where your greatest weakness is. See, some of you have secret sin. It's a temptation you don't even want to tell other people. Because you haven't confessed it. You haven't brought the light of Christ there yet. So what does the enemy do? Like a boxer, he keeps hitting you in the ribs. Because he knows, even though I'm smaller than you, I don't have the power, if I can keep hitting you and poking you, I can take you down. Because it's 99% good, listen, and only 1% poison will kill you. It's all he needs, 1%. If he can kill a rat dog, he can kill you. Let's be real this morning, right? What I love about Jesus is that even though the enemy has a plan for your life, Jesus has a plan for your life. Yeah. And what some of you that are new to Christianity, you need to realize, it's not just the New Testament that talks about Jesus, the Old Testament talks about Jesus. The entire Bible talks about Jesus. The whole Bible is a picture of a Savior who was going to come and die for us on a cross. And the Old Testament are pictures and shadows of who's going to come. In the New Testament, he's like, I'm here. And so Joseph is a figure, a shadow of who Jesus is. In the same way that Joseph had a God dream, and he was tested with the test of rejection. His brothers abandoned him. He had the test of temptation. Listen, Jesus was rejected. His rejection provided our salvation. He was rejected on the cross by God the Father. He died so that we can live. But he also faced temptation. Did you know this? That for 40 days in the wilderness, he didn't just fast social media and Instagram. He fasted food. He fasted Taco Bell. Like, how did he do it? And if you're not going to take the bait, listen, if you're going to pass the test of temptation, you realize the cost, you got to resist the urge, and then Jesus shows us the third thing that we need to do. What he does when the enemy comes and begins to tempt him three times, and Jesus doesn't perform miracles, Jesus doesn't do signs and wonders, he doesn't give him a big, long speech about why he's God, he just recites the word. He just recites the word. You might write this down. He just recites the word. And it shows me that the Bible isn't just a book with pages on it. It's a supernatural weapon against the enemy's hooks. That even though he's fighting with supernatural weapons, you have something stronger than earthly weapons. You have the word of God. How does a young man resist the temptation? Psalm 119, read this with me. It says, how can a young person stay on a path of purity? By living according to your word. By living according to your word. Some of you, when temptation comes, you fall. Because you're trying to fight a supernatural battle with your earthly strength. And you're no match for the enemy. You have no strength to overcome his darkness. See, if I can be very blunt this morning, I know that we're in a very PC area, and some people in this room love guns, and some people don't. I'm just going to use a gun as an illustration. Imagine you buy a gun. And you never go to the firearm place or the gun range, and you never learn to take the safety off. And then imagine the unimaginable happens. Someone comes into your house, tries to harm you and your family. Right? That's just an expensive paperweight. Because you never learn how to take the safety off. There are too many Christians in this room. You have the safety on your Bible on. It doesn't matter if you have the Bible, like three of them on your phone. It doesn't matter if you have four in your house. The power is not in the pages. The power is when the pages get in you. Because greater is in you than is in the world. And listen, if you don't spend time with God, the enemy is going to spend time with you. And see, what's happening right now is I'm preaching faith. I'm preaching Jesus. And right now, some of you, he's whispering in your ear. You're not a Christian. Why do you even come? And you've never taken the safety off your Bible. And if you did, you go to 1 John 1, verse 12. It says, to those who received him, to those who believed in him, he gave them the right to be children of God. See, that's how you resist the enemy. You just recite the word to him. Some of you, you're struggling because you have a secret sin, something you did even last night. Like, man, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to go to church today. If they knew who I really was, they wouldn't be my friend. And if you just took the safety off your Bible, you would recite Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You need to recite the word to the enemy. See, some of you, you lost a job. Some of you, your family is cray-cray. Some of you, you have a doctor told you a diagnosis, and everything around you is chaotic. And now you're struggling to even believe in God this morning. And I would say go to Psalm 91, because there was a guy who went through some high highs, and maybe he went through some low lows. He killed some people. He lost some jobs. He went through some valleys. But he said, even though 1,000 may fall to my side and 10,000 to my right, my God's never going to forsake me. And he recited the word when the enemy came to him. See, if you're going to resist the temptation that the enemy's going to bring, you got to count the cost, you got to resist the urge, and you got to recite the word. Because all he needs is 99% good and 1% poison to kill you. I'm going to finish with this last verse to show you how this story ends. Potiphar's wife lies when she grabs his coat, tells Potiphar, he tried to rape me, throw this man in prison. And Joseph gets thrown in prison for doing the right thing. At the beginning of this chapter, listen, he's a slave in Egypt, and he rises to the top. And by the end of Genesis chapter 39, he's now a prisoner in prison. And watch what happens. He's going to rise to the top. But while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison ward. Because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. And here's the thing that you need to get deep in your heart. Sometimes you're going to do the right thing, and it's going to lead you to the wrong place. Sometimes you're going to follow Jesus, and it's going to lead to a nightmare. See, there are some of you in this room, you don't even realize Joseph was a man of God. He was a man of faith. He resisted the enemy. He passed the test of rejection, and then he passed the test of temptation. And yet he's still in prison for doing the right thing. It's one thing to be thrown in prison for doing the wrong thing. What do you do when you're in a nightmare situation for doing the right thing? See, there are some of you in this room, everyone around you is lying on their resume, they're lying on their taxes, they're getting the promotion, and you're being honest and you're being passed up. And compromise is coming. Don't take the bait. There are some women in this room that you want to follow Jesus. You want to live a life of purity. And you're not going to have sex with him or any other man until he puts a ring on it. But now you're seeing people don't want to date a 30-year-old virgin. And all your friends are getting married and you did the right thing and now you're in the wrong place. What do you do? Don't take the bait. Maybe some of you in this room, you're in high school or you're in college, and every time you obey your parents, it seems like you lose popularity with your friends. And they're out partying and having a good time, and you're missing out. Listen. Sometimes doing the right thing will lead you to the wrong place. They can take your purpose. They can take your position. They can take your promotion. They can put you in a pit, but greater is he that is in you that is in the world. And Joseph never quit. Joseph never gave down. So they rejected him. He still has a dream. So they abandoned him. He still has a dream. Some of you in this room, you're so discouraged because you're looking with your eyes around the circumstances around you. You need to look with your faith eyes. That greater is he that is in you that is in around you. Regardless of what happens, God's there. He's using it for your good. Don't take the bait. Say it with me. Don't take the bait. If you guys can close your eyes and bow your heads, I'd love to pray for you this morning. God, I just want to pray for our church, God, that every person in this room, they have a God dream. They have a plan and purpose that's greater than them, that greater than their 401k, greater than their promotion at work, greater than their salary, God, greater than even their fantasy football team. You've given them a God dream to be part of something bigger than themselves, God. But God, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us other than Jesus have taken the bait. We've failed the test of temptation. But praise God, we are the people of the second chance. But for those who are in Christ, there is therefore no condemnation. That the righteous man falls down 7 times, but he gets up 7 times. That with you, Christ, I am forgiven. I am made brand new. I have a new purpose. I can stand up again because of you, Christ. I just want to pray for those people that are discouraged this morning, that they think their dream is done, that they think that God has abandoned them. God will never leave you or forsake you. That every person in this room, from the pastor to the person in the back of the room, has fallen short of the glory of God. The dream is still on your life. The promise still stands. I feel like declaring that over some people today that think that God is done with them. The promise still stands. That God's not done with you. That until you're dead, he's not done. But I also want to pray for a few other people. And maybe this is your first time at church. Maybe you heard about a God who no matter what's going on around you, he's there with you. A God that loves you enough to die for you. A God that willingly knows every evil, sinful, and stupid, and foolish thing you've ever done and still goes to the cross and dies for you. And you want a relationship with that God. You want him to speak a God dream over you. You don't have to join this church. You're not saying yes to me. You're saying yes to Jesus. The Savior of all mankind, the lover of your soul, the one who knows you by name, the number of hairs on your head, and he was the one that brought you here this morning. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you this morning and you want to start a relationship with Jesus, you're not saying yes to me or this church, you're saying yes to him. Would you just slowly raise your hand? Would love to pray for you this morning. Yes, I see your hand in the back. Praise God. You can put your hand down. Pray this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, thank you that you lived a sinless, perfect life and you paid the penalty of sin. Even though I failed the test of temptation, you died for it. Now I'm given a second chance with you, Christ. Have your way in my life, God. Give me a God dream, something that's bigger than me. I want to give you my life, Jesus. Would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you help me follow you and love you all the days of my life? In Jesus' name. Can we celebrate, church, for the two hands that went up?
Thanks so much for joining us on today's podcast. We hope this message gives you hope. If you need prayer or want to reach out to us at all, we hope you do at info@centerset.church. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Centerset Church and Facebook. We'll see you guys next time.